Let's talk a little bit about the work of the late Colonel Philip Corso. Of course, his book, The Day After Roswell. So here we have a legitimate high-level Army officer talking about the things he knew of at Roswell, also going as far, Nick, as saying that he took engineered things from the craft and reverse engineered it by giving it to some U.S. corporations to try to reinvent and figure out how it worked and things like that. What do we say about that?
Well, I've actually got a section on Corso in the book, and what's intriguing is that what I've learned is that in the early 1960s, at the time when Corso was in the Foreign Technology Division of the Army, there was a fear, if you like, or a suspicion that there was somebody allied to the FTD, the Foreign Technology Division, that was a double agent working for the Russians. And I stress, this has nothing to do with Corso. He was in no way linked with this at all.
All right, I understand.
But what happened was that to try and smoke out one of the four people they suspected was the source, that each of these four people were fed bogus stories. And then the idea was, well, when they speak to their handler, then the they would listen in on the intelligence channels, and whichever person, you know, related the bogus story, and then the Russian guy spoke to his handlers in Russia, then, you know, that the stories were so specific that it would enable them to track back to the guy who was indeed the, you know, the mole or the double agent in the Foreign Technology Division. And one of the stories that apparently was spread was that the FTD had got its hands on a degree or a quantity of materials from a crashed UFO. And one of the interviewees I spoke with said this actually led to rumors within the FTD and the Army and the Pentagon that the US Army had got its hands on crashed UFO materials. And so tightly was the security around this Russian spy operation that a number of people, or a high number of people within the military at the time and in the FTD, actually thought this was a true story, that they had got their hands on these materials, not realizing it was a ruse to try and smoke out this Soviet source. And the people I interviewed suspected that Corso may have been an unwitting player and actually thought that, you know, he was onto something, when it actually, in actual fact, it was part of this elaborate scheme to try and smoke out a Soviet mole. Now, you know, how that ties in with the story, we don't fully know. And, you know, if everybody I interviewed had the answer to every aspect of all these stories, you know, I'd be suspicious that they've been coached to tell these tales. But, you know, the fact that there seems to have been a bogus story specifically circulated in the division Corso worked in the early 60s to promote bogus crashed UFO stories suggests that somewhere there's a tie-in with all this.
Do you believe that it's possible, though, that his story is authentic, or do you think absolutely not?
Well, you know, I think Corso's story is interesting because you either have to accept it completely or deny it completely because it's so literal in terms
right.
of what he's saying.
And then you also have to weigh the agenda of the man. And
yes.
And that I find to be fascinating.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of these whistleblowers out there, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. The people I interviewed for the book, several of them, were involved in hiding the crashed UFO stories, hiding the truth behind crashed UFO stories, and they're actually asked to spread these bogus UFO tales. But initially, they weren't told what it was that they were actually hiding. They were just told, you know, spread these tales, get them out there, and promote this idea that UFOs have crashed. And they didn't actually question because it was, you know, they're part of their job was to spread these tales, and it was only further down the line that they learned why they were doing it. And so, you know, I think we could potentially apply that to some of these Roswell whistleblowers, is the idea that, you know, they were spreading unknowingly, even perhaps, bogus stories to hide something else, and they actually weren't wittingly doing it. You know, they were as much in the dark as everybody else, and that's how the secret was kept.
Well, I'm writing a book, Nick, with, believe it or not, the co-author of that Roswell book,
mm-hmm.
with Corso, Bill Burns.
Mm-hmm.
He's my partner in a couple
sure.
book series. I asked him specifically about Corso a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
and he says that Corso absolutely, in his mind, was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty perplexing that something happened. You know, did he see these kinds of bodies you were talking about? And even with all that, I could assume, hey, maybe that's what happened. But then these reverse engineered pieces, that's puzzling.
Well, that's what I mean about, you know, there are only two literal interpretations to the Corso story, that it's true or it isn't. There is no way that, you know, it can be open to misidentification. It is either black or it's white.
I agree.
Now, the point I would make is that two of the sources, at least, that I interviewed told me that they were responsible for, actually, in the early 1950s, creating fake documents concerning crashed UFOs, actually talking about crashed UFOs and alien autopsies, and that this material was to be fed to the Russians. But because they were suspected of being Soviet moles within the U.S. intelligence community, they also fed them to them, then to try and, you know, follow the trail of their handlers and finding out where the material was going in Russia.
What was the reason also just to send it to the Russians beyond the mole? Was that to try to convince them that we've got better technology now?
Yeah, it was like weird psychological warfare operations designed to confuse the Soviets, to, you know, make them fearful that we got access to advanced technologies. But the key point in all this is that they told me that some of these files were actually exposed to people who actually weren't a part of these operations and actually thought these were genuine documents. And because of the secrecy surrounding the project, they weren't aware that these were bogus papers being fed to the Russians. And so this did lead to stories and rumors that, you know, the people who read the files thought they were reading genuine material, not realizing it was actually put together by colleagues in the Pentagon.
Well, what's even more fascinating is that the Russians would apparently believe then that we had obtained all this alien technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, one of the plans was to release or leak this information to Russia about these bogus UFO crashes, and then if the Russians had any contacts in the States, they would listen in on the intelligence channels and, you know, listen to somebody in the Kremlin say to their contact in the Pentagon, what about this crashed UFO story? And then that would identify the mole in the States.